We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into this special edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. If you are listening to this on audio, this is episode 1021. If you are joining me on the YouTube channel, it is episode 240. I am bringing you this as a simulcast today because I have an incredibly special guest. He is the founder of Go Long, a newsletter dedicated to enterprising pro football journalism, previously of Bleacher Report, Buffalo News, and of course, covering the Packers with the Journal Sentinel. My guest is the one and only Ty Dunn. You can follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. That's T-Y. D-U-N-N-E. Ty, thank you incredibly so much for joining me. I cannot wait to talk to you. There's just a little bit going on in Green Bay right now that I think you may have some insight on.
Hey, the pleasure's all here, Andy, man. Thanks so much for having me on. You've really, like we were talking before we hit record here. I mean, you've really built up something that's exceptional that I got to tell your readers and listeners, they love it. So it's a pleasure to be here to talk about all of this with you.
Oh, that means a ton. And right back at you, Go Long. It's just been absolutely incredible. And obviously you've focused on a lot of Packer stuff, which we're going to get to in just a moment. Before we get there, I do want to talk about your time covering the Packers because you did work for the Journal Sentinel. And I'm just wondering, you know, what was your time like at the Journal Sentinel? You know, what ultimately brought you back to Buffalo and now kind of with Go Long and kind of still covering the Packers in some capacity? You just kind of walk, our listeners, through that journey a little bit.
Man, it was an amazing 5 years of my life. I mean, I loved it out there. Loved living in Green Bay. Loved my coworkers. I mean, Bob McGinn, Tom Silverstein, Lori Nickel, my sports editor, Mike Davis, who hired me. Just the best of the best. I mean, it was like, covering pro football every second of every day. That was something I will never be able to repay all of them. So that was amazing. I mean, amazing friends. That's so many locals right there in Green Bay. I mean, Kyle Cusino, Tommy Kanegi, they became a couple of my best friends there. Missed, slugging beers with them down at Fox Harbor. So that was a lot of fun. And then, the fans, I'll tell you, I grew up a Packer fan, believe it or not, in Western New York. And so I understand that passion. It's rare. It's different. Me and my dad, we actually used to go to Lambeau once a year. It was like a father-son pilgrimage of sorts. So that was fun. But yeah, I guess to take it way back then. So that's how I started watching the Packers. And then, you know, when I got older, you kind of lose that fandom, at least, you know, going to Syracuse for journalism and interning out in Wisconsin. I was there for the summer of Favre, you know, writing for the Sean O'Leader and the Packer Report, just to be around it. And, you know, you start rooting for the story and not the team. It's kind of sad, you know, to see a lot of fans loving this all. But I could always understand the passion of the fan. Always. Like, it's just different. And it made the job fun at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to be able to, you know, whether it's writing a feature story, doing the podcast with Bob, which was so much fun, you know, Q&As, analysis. We kind of did a little bit of everything, but to feed the beast stated, the fans almost felt like your boss because you could never give the readers of the Green Bay Packers enough. I'm going to tell you, enough content. They want it every day. So it was fun. I've lived out there forever. Being from Western New York, though, you know, Buffalo area always kind of has that magnetic pull for Buffalonians. Had the opportunity to go back to the Buffalo News, covered the Bills for a year. Then Bleacher Report reached out to me to just exclusively do the long form journalism. Had to jump at it. And it was a good run, you know, 4.5 years until they pivoted a different direction and figured, why not just go all out, create my own thing, cover pro football the way I think it should be covered. And so far, so good. I mean, really, the Packer fans have been such a foundation for everything I'm doing to go along, to follow me to this new adventure that I'm taking on. It really means a lot.
Yeah, I'm not the best at sucking up to guests, so you can take this at face value. When you left Green Bay, I would definitely at the time was like, man, that is a major void that, you know, somebody's going to have to fill, because you did such a great job covering the team at the time. And then, you know, to see you kind of now pick this up at Go Long and really have such already a niche covering the Packers again, it's so great, because it's, in a way, I know you left, but it now is almost like you never left, which has been really, really cool to watch.
Hey, thanks for saying that. I mean, it's great. I love writing about the Packers as much as I can. And, you know, having a lot of relationships on that beat, it's great to tap into those again, you know, whether, I'm sure we'll get into it, but like, you know, talking to Leroy Butler about his life, Marquez Valdes-Scanlon, AJ Dillon, and this Aaron Rodgers story, man, it's, it's a doozy. So no, it's great. I'll definitely try to, you know, cover the Packers and really to see the subscribers pour in. This past week, with just a few of the stories we've had, it means so much. So I don't take that lightly. And if you're signed up, if you're subscribed, I mean, hell yeah, you can definitely count on a lot more Packers stuff through the off season.
Yeah. And for those of you who are not, definitely do it. It is more than worth the value that you get in return. You're doing the happy hours, which is super amazing as well. And again, there is a large Packers focus here, not just the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Great article on Jordan Love, interview with Jay Sternberger, interview with AJ Dillon, great article on MVS. I actually want to touch base a little bit on each of those. I want to start actually with, and I think you wrote this either in season or right after season, the article on MVS. I thought that was a fantastic article, and you wrote, you know, why it's time to believe, or why you must believe in MVS. And one of, I thought, the really interesting takeaways from that, and I've actually used this when talking on the radio, and I'm sure actually talking on the podcast as well, is the quote where he had, you know, the two different playbooks quote, the playbook that Matt LaFleur wanted, and then the playbook that Aaron Rodgers wanted, and basically having to learn both of those, because it's one thing to know what Matt LaFleur calls pre-snap, and then the other, you know, what Rodgers sees at the line of scrimmage and is doing, but whether it's in the huddle, pre-snap, post-snap, all of it, and just being on that same wavelength with Aaron Rodgers. So one, what was your big takeaway from that conversation with MVS, and talk a little bit more about kind of knowing those two playbooks?
That was a huge takeaway, you know, he didn't mean that in a bad way, obviously.
Right.
Look, we led the NFL in scoring with these two playbooks, well, a play, but when you're up to the line of scrimmage, Aaron might see something that is going to completely change your assignment a split second before that ball is snapped. So you better as hell see it. And his points being like, look, you can go out and you can sign a receiver if you want, right? You can sign a veteran that you think is going to cure all in Green Bay, but that player isn't going to have that baked in relationship with Aaron Rodgers and see the things that he sees on the field. I mean, Jay Sternberger even took it a step further. He said on our happy hour during the draft that there was a signal that Aaron Rodgers made. And it was from something that he did in 2014. Like, I think Jay Sternberger was in high school in 2014. and you know, Aaron apologized to him after the fact and everything. But it just goes to show, like, he does have that freedom at the line of scrimmage to do whatever he wants. And they found that balance. And I'm sure we'll get it, not to jump ahead to Aaron Rodgers stuff, but it's like, man, if you're an MVP quarterback, what more do you want? Like, you've got that freedom you've always wanted. You've got all these weapons. You've got a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl back-to-back years. You've got all the money you'd want, it sounds like they'd offer him. So, not to jump ahead of myself, but yeah, MVS, that was a huge takeaway. And just the fact that, you know, he felt like he was getting to that point. You know, Devontae Adams kind of had a similar breakthrough. Remember that year or two in 2015, man, people wanted him gone. Like, he did not have a good season, dropped a lot of balls, played a lot worse than MVS played last year. I mean, MVS led the league in yards per reception. He made a ton of big plays. So it was great. You know, the football interesting to talk about. What I didn't know, Andy, that was like his life down in St. Petersburg, the things that he lived through, the things that he saw. I mean, just everything. He said, you know, peers, friends dying, going to jail for life, just the worst possible things imaginable. He saw it up close. I think he really realizes the opportunity he has in the NFL as somebody who got out. You think of St. Petersburg, you think of vacationing with your family and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much more than that. And just unbelievable human being. I mean, doing so much in the community with trying to fix homelessness down there, you know, a problem that kind of it runs rampant throughout the country. A lot of layers to MVS. And yeah, I think fans should believe in this guy for more reasons than one.
I'm right there with you, Ty. And just for, you know, history's sake, for whatever this is worth, I was never a huge MVS guy. You know, he obviously had the freak athleticism and all that stuff coming out of college. And then, you know, he really had his opportunity even as a rookie in Mike McCarthy's offense and running it right away. By the end of the year, he was on the bench. And then Matt LaFleur comes in 2019. He has his opportunity right away. He makes the big catch early in the season. And then by the end of the year, he's on the bench. And then training camp comes last year and I'm there and I'm seeing him and I'm watching him. I'm like, okay, this is a different MVS. And I still didn't want to buy in. And then of course, last year he's got the fumble against Indianapolis. He has multiple big drops, but I'm telling you, there was something completely different about MVS through the course of last season. We started seeing it more and more, the level of consistency, his play even against Tampa Bay. Rodgers was a couple throws off, just a millisecond off from MVS potentially being the guy that could have saved Green Bay in that game on a couple. He already had the big touchdown, and there was a couple just a hair off where if they hit, like, MVS might be the savior of the Packers season in that game. And again, just a fraction.
They don't have enough weapons, Andy. He's the reason they didn't have Antonio Brown and Fournette and Gronk. So I don't want to hear that. You know,
fair enough. But yeah, no, I'm all in on MVS, and that's the first time I've said that. I know people are going to say, "Well, yes, we've heard this before in 18 and 19 and 20, and then we see what happens." I think he's really in, you know, going to be in for a big year. And I'm really excited to see what he does in training camp and coming up this season. And of course, it's a contract year. That never hurts either.
Oh, totally. Contract year. That's going to be in the back of the mind. And how many just dudes are that big and that fast and can get off the line? Like, that alone is something you do not want to just throw to the side. I mean, you want to use that some way, somehow. I think he's part of the solution. No doubt about it.
I really do. I really do as well. And you obviously also had those conversations with Jay Sternberger, AJ Dillon. I want to get to Rodgers, but quickly before we get there, any big takeaways from your conversations with those two, other than again, the 2014 audible by Rodgers?
Yeah. You know, Jay Sternberger, it was great too. I mean, so we did like it was probably 7, 8, 9 hours in total, like Zoom happy hours during the NFL draft where subscribers kind of came on and I just bring on a bunch of random guests. It was a lot of fun, but he came on to talk about the draft, about the Aaron Rodgers situation, about his own life and his own career. I'm trying to think back, you know, one thing that stood out, he really got into the detail of his concussion. And man, the aftershock of that was way more serious than I think anybody realized. And just, I mean, we tend to forget about that. I feel like we haven't talked enough about concussions these last few years. I mean, so much going on in the world and the game. This was like the number one story in pro football. Like every week, it seemed like there was another headline that was really troubling and it kind of just faded away. So, I mean, to hear him talk about just how much that concussion just messed him up, it kind of gives you the chills a little bit. So that was interesting. And AJ Dillon was just a wild conversation. You know,
it's fun.
Super fun guy. I mean, as everybody knows by now, he's really into sports cards. And we, as a sports card guy myself, it was just cool to hear how he's betting on himself, man, like trying to find all the one-on-ones and jumping in on these box breaks. And I mean, this talk about physical for 250, 8.7% body fat or 7.8, just insane.
Yep.
He went through his COVID stuff himself, but that was another draft pick that was just widely ridiculed and just labeled a waste and a bust right away. I mean, there aren't running backs built like him, you know, ever in the history of the game with that size and that speed. There's got to be a role. I mean, there's got to be a way to use him. And I think that back to those two playbooks, he was playing quarterback, but you know, those LaFleur plays in place are for a guy like AJ Dillon to really take advantage. I mean, he is somebody once he gets going downhill, and if you give him the ball 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, I mean, he really could be a presence when they need him to be late. And I just kept thinking of Eddie Lacy. You know, I covered him at the Journal Sentinel, who his first 2 years, obviously, he was that bruising presence. He was exactly what they needed. You know, before him, remember, they'd sit back with two safeties and Alex Green, great guy, but he just couldn't bust through.
Nope.
James Starks could when he was healthy. And Ryan Grant, you know, he just kind of faded away at the end, but they didn't have that. They didn't have that guy who could take advantage of that. Lacy could, but then he just kind of ate his way out of the league. Like he literally just put on too much weight. I feel like AJ Dillon is like everything Eddie Lacy should have been. Like,
yeah,
you won't have that problem with AJ Dillon. He lives in that freaking weight room.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So that
he does.
You know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, I think that there's going to be a way to use both him and Aaron Jones. And I mean, I know it all comes back to Aaron Rodgers, but like, whatever happens there, this is a really good team and a really good offense with a lot of weapons that this current GM brought in. There's a lot to be excited about, I think, for the Green Bay Packers.
I think that's true, too. And I think, as you mentioned, I think there's a lot of breathing room for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in that same backfield. And we saw it against the Rams where they used two running back sets. They motion Aaron Jones out wide, especially with the Rams who like playing their two safeties back. All of a sudden, A.J. Dillon, who was seeing 8-9 boxes consistently at college, had a 5-man box in front of him, literally just running downhill. And it's just crazy to see, you know, some of the options that Matt LaFleur is able to conjure up when you've got an Aaron Jones, you know, spreading out wide in a potential of a, like a wide receiver screen, basically, or a screen, basically, Davante Adams on the other side, who you can't cover one-on-one. And then you've got a, you know, 230, 40, 50, whatever he is, pound bruising back that if you do a, you know, a smaller box, like good night, he's going to run right through it. So, and again, you've got the play caller in Matt LaFleur to be able to pull that stuff off. I thought you brought up a great point. You know, these guys, the Green Bay gets, you know, a lot of people don't always like their draft classes. They are usually in the business of drafting rare individuals that, you know, that you can't always find on the planet Earth. And MVS, one of those guys, crazy height, ridiculous 4.340 speed, just not many of those type of guys on the planet Earth. Same thing goes for an AJ Dillon, like dude's built like a defensive tackle, but you know, plays like a running back and has legit running back speed faster than even Aaron Jones, who's, you know, seems half his size at times. Like there's just not many of these type of players. And Green Bay has a fine, you know, way of finding those type of players and utilizing them, and it's been really successful for Green Bay so far.
Yeah, and I guess if AJ Dillon does end up being, you know, Derrick Henry 2.0, the guy we have to thank is Mike Owen, Northeast scout for the Packers. Long story short, I actually covered him at the Daily Orange when I went to Syracuse. He was a tight end on the team, and I, you know, you could tell he was a really smart guy. Then here he is, you know, one of the Packers scouts. So he found AJ Dillon. I mean, he was obviously really well known, but you know, he was there when he was a freshman. Brian White, the BC running backs coach, actually coached Mike Owen as his tight ends coach at Syracuse, and said, look, you got to watch this guy. Like, he's only a freshman. Look at those damn thighs. Look at what he can do. So I think Mike Owen was on him from the start all the way through his career, and really pushed for him to Brian Gutekunst. And like you said, they do look for just a rare specimen. You know what I mean? And it speaks to confidence in coaching too, that, you know, we'll find you these just outliers, and you just coach them up and find a way to use them.
Yeah. And Green Bay has been so good at that. All right. Those are all great. Definitely.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Make sure to check out, obviously, the AJ Dillon and the Jay Sternberger interviews, as well as the article on MVS. But Ty, there's a topic that I think a lot of people want us to get to. That is of one Aaron Rodgers. This is usually starting to encroach on the time where when you're running a 365-day-a-year podcast, like we've had episodes where we've, compared Packers to Game of Thrones characters and like things like that. We are not going to embark in that territory, I don't think, this offseason.
Thank God.
You got to buckle up and get ready for a topsy-turvy offseason, to say the least. But you've had two articles recently, one titled Time for Green Bay to Trade Aaron Rodgers, and the other one titled Let the Jordan Era Begin, Jordan Love Era Begin in Green Bay. Maybe just start off, what's your 1,000-foot view look at this entire situation? You've talked to a ton of people, players, former front office, various sources. Tell me just what you're kind of hearing, seeing, feeling about this entire mess, if you will.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
It's not good. Not really breaking any news there, Andy, but it's not good. And as people know now, it has kind of been percolating here for a while. From the moment that Aaron Rodgers kind of just put his future into jeopardy in that post-game press. Remember Matt LaFleur's reaction? He was like, what? Like, of course, he'll be our quarterback. I think nobody saw that coming. Like, he's under contract for 3 more years. If as long as you play at or anywhere near that 2020 level, the ball is literally in Aaron Rodgers' hand. Like, he has total control. Like, yep, you're the quarterback until you're not good anymore. So, I mean, start there. But apparently, it's the grudge. It's the principle of you took my replacement, and I'm going to embarrass you. As one player explained to me, like, his theory is like Aaron Rodgers is trying to expose the Packers. Like, Jordan Love and may not be ready. He's raw right now, but damn it, you took him. Play him. Get rid of me. Trade me. I'm not going to suit up. And there have been numerous sources, and I'm not the only one saying this. A lot of the best reporters in the country covering this story are saying the same exact thing. But like, everybody keeps saying, like, look, when he is dug in, he is dug in. Like, if he's a world-class grudge holder, and it's part of what makes him one of the best quarterbacks ever, he finds any slight, really piss him off, he's going to use it. And this is the ultimate thing that could piss off Aaron Rodgers, the drafting of a quarterback. And I don't think telling him about it beforehand would have done shit. Like, I don't think it would have done anything. Like, maybe he feels a little better. I think we're sitting here talking, though, right now, Andy. Really. I think even if they give him a heads up, I feel like we're sitting here talking about Aaron Rodgers kind of drawing that line of the sand. But either way, this is where they are. The relationship isn't good. Obviously, the bomb was dropped day one of the draft. And so immediately everybody's talking about, well, maybe they have this conversation. Maybe they have that conversation. Maybe they talk. They've had all those conversations. Like, they've talked about contract. They've offered to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league, as Bob McGinn reported, and to extend his contract, all those things. I don't think they're not going to give up on Jordan Love. At least they shouldn't. You know, they believe in him for a reason. They're not going to fire Brian Gutekunst. You know, I had one source tell me, like, that's what it would take in Aaron Rodgers' mind. Like, you know, just get rid of everybody. They're not going to do that. So they're just stuck right now. Maybe time heals, you know, maybe there's this cooling off period and Aaron Rodgers kind of looks at it and says, you know what, the football stuff does matter to me, because football wise, it's the best situation to be in right now.
Right.
Maybe the money does matter, because money, you don't want to lose millions of dollars and you can be paid more than anybody else. We'll see, but I haven't heard any change as we're talking here now. I haven't heard any change. The one thing I'll say is there always is that sliver of a chance that, you know, he's given himself. We haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers. Like, it'd be great to hear from him, but we haven't. So he's given himself that out to sit down with somebody and chum it up and say, this was all a bunch of smears, all a bunch of BS back then. You know, I was never going anywhere. And everybody would open, you know, would open up their arms and give him a big hug in Wisconsin. They would, because he's that good. I don't know, though. I think he's dug in. I don't see it going that direction as we sit here right now.
Yeah. You know, you brought up the point where, you know, he's well known for holding a grudge. Right. And I've said, and I've gone on radio shows as well and saying, like, the Packers and the Packer fans have gotten the most out of this for the last, you know, decade plus, where he's held a grudge against every team that passed on him. And he's wanted to show everyone that he can be an MVP quarterback and play at a high level and win a Super Bowl. And that's motivated him and got the Packers a lot of times to the point that they got to, and especially when they won the Super Bowl. Well, now, potentially not Packer fans, maybe so much as the organization is on the other side of that and holding a grudge potentially against them. And I thought one of the telling quotes, and I think it's everyone's maybe thought it at this point, but they should have known, meaning the Packers should have known, of all people, whether, and I've said this as well, in a vacuum, drafting Jordan Love in that spot was very, very smart. You always want the quarterback before you need a quarterback. He's super talented. Usually you're going to be picking in the late 20s, early 30s. You don't always have an opportunity to get a guy with that level of talent. We saw what San Francisco had to get up just to get a player very similar in Trey Lance, who had basically the 1 year of success, had some question marks, high-end talent. San Francisco had to give up a ton of picks to get to that spot, and coming off a poor year where they already had the 12th overall pick. So if you're picking 29, you have to get even more to get up to that spot. In a vacuum, it makes all the sense in the world. But when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback and he's coming off an MVP season, and when you know how Aaron Rodgers is probably going to interpret that selection, it's really, really, really tough to view that in a vacuum. And I think, again, as the source said on the quote, they should have known. And I think that's a fair assessment. I can understand why they decided to make that pick. I can also understand why maybe it wasn't the right thing to do given the situation they were in.
Well said. I couldn't agree more with everything you just said, Andy. And it's like these two forces are colliding. You have this personality in Aaron Rodgers that's volatile and is going to look for anything that pisses him off and going to use it. And you love that, you know, it's going to be a good thing. Trust me. I know. Right. You know, we wrote a story a couple of years ago. He had a few things to say about it. So you got that force. Right. And then you got the Packers front office, from Ron Wolf to Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. Like, it's going to be very methodical. Like you said, they're going to think ahead. They're going to strip emotion from the equation. Like, they're not going to take that emotion into account, and they're not going to just invite you right into the draft war room and have you break down prospects. Like, it's just not the way it's done.
Right.
So maybe it was inevitable. You know, maybe this was probably going to happen at some point, a little sooner than people thought. I'm sure you talked about this too, Andy, but like, I think it's important in your mind. A lot of people on the outside, like 2019, there were signs. I mean, I can remember a few Hail Marys falling a little short. Remember that Detroit game in week 17? It wasn't pretty. NFC Championship game against San Francisco. Yeah, defense got rolled over by Raheem Mostert, but like, Rodgers wasn't that good in that game. Like, you don't want to get caught with your pants down at the position. So they believe in Jordan Love. They took Jordan Love there for the reasons you said. It makes so much sense. And I just keep coming back to the fact that, like, he's got all the control. Like, he's got the ball in his hands. Like, as long as he's a good quarterback, it's his job until otherwise. And which tells me that maybe he is just done with Green Bay, like just flatly just ready to leave, you know?
Yeah.
You just got, you know, you can only have I know I've said this before. You know, there's so many stakes at Chives. Maybe he's just tired of the routine, tired of little old Green Bay. And I don't know, maybe he's just at that breaking point and wants to get out and go somewhere that will be new, different, exciting, a bigger city, closer to the West Coast, so he can do the Hollywood stuff, and a place that will give him that personnel power and control.
Yeah, you got to wonder how much Brady's success a season ago played a thought into that thought process for Rodgers. I also, you know, the thing that went wrong here is they didn't win the Super Bowl last year. If they win the Super Bowl last year, I think one, Rodgers may feel the exact same way as he does now. I think if you're Green Bay, you maybe come to an easier conclusion and say, you know, especially right when the Super Bowl is done, you say you won a Super Bowl. They had all the contracts that they had to like borrow a ton of money from the future. If Rodgers says at the end of that, you know, after they win it, that he wants out, I think maybe you're okay. And you say, okay, we'll trade you to another franchise. We'll get back a ton of picks and we maybe won't sign some of these guys. Maybe we release a Preston Smith and a Dean Lowry and we start this rebuild with Jordan Love. You have so much more, you know, flexibility coming off of a Super Bowl win that you've got more of a window to kind of play with in that situation. If that all happens, maybe this goes a little bit easier. Maybe Rodgers is happier. Who the hell knows? But they just could have maybe won two more games. Maybe this goes down just a tad bit better.
Yeah. Oh my God. All the what ifs. I mean, and I know Ian Rappaport reported this what if, and I heard it around the same time. It's very true. I think they traded up. I mean, they were going after Justin Jefferson. Like they,
yeah, well,
that's Jefferson. True. Yeah. Like that's true. Like, where are we now? Like if they take Justin Jefferson, like I'm sorry to, you know, pour salt in that wound, but like, it's a different world. If they do that, but you took Jordan Love. I mean, you know, the ramifications when you make that draft pick, you know, well, if people want to subscribe to go along, I had a conversation with Ron Wolf today, actually.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I just thought it'd be great to get a sense for that Packer way and, you know, just how it really is there and how it is different. And, you know, when he obviously made that trade for Favre, like he knew his ass was in. Like when you do that, you know, you're putting your career on the line. When Ted Thompson drafted Aaron Rodgers, and then obviously when he stuck with him, when Favre on the trade, he knew his career was on the line. I think Gutekunst is at that moment right now. Like you got to know, like, this is your guy, like for better or worse. I think you just have to throw your belief behind him. And that's why I wrote that story, you know, just usher in the Jordan Love era at this point. And unless you really think you can change Aaron Rodgers' mind, which I don't know anybody who has ever changed Aaron Rodgers' mind, unless you think you can pull that off, which I guess they think they can.
Right.
Bring it on, baby. I mean, this is why you drafted him, right? This is your career. This is your draft pick. So just build an infrastructure that's best for Jordan Love right now.
Yeah, no, that makes
sense. June 1st, right? You got to wait till June 1st, but.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a sec, but going back to Justin Jefferson for just saying, what a phenomenal best draft pick ever by the Minnesota Vikings. Not only getting the receiver that is Justin Jefferson, who's fantastic, but potentially completely altering the course of Packers history and not being able to maybe finish the Rodgers career in Green Bay, because instead of getting Justin Jefferson and maybe even being way better a season ago with Jefferson at wide receiver, maybe winning a Super Bowl, now creating chaos and divide in Green Bay. It goes down as an all-time great Minnesota Vikings pick. If you're a Vikings fan, you love it. If you're a Packers fan, you hate it to death. But I do want to get, you know, before we jump into Jordan Love and kind of finalize things there, I do want to just kind of get your thought of, you know, John Kuhn, James Jones, some of these players have kind of come out, and this was since you had, you know, I believe at least wrote one of the articles, if not both, and they kind of maybe made it seem a bit more optimistic, maybe a 70% chance, I think is what John Kuhn had said. Any inkling that things have changed at all, or in your opinion, basically status quo, this is still not in a great spot, which it seems to me that's what Ian Rappaport was basically reporting on Monday, is basically that, you know, things are still not good, that they've had some discussions, but not good. But has anything changed at all in your eyes?
I haven't seen any change. And the players I've talked to, sources around the team, that it seems like it's in a bad spot still here. I mean, it could change. There's time still. I think the Packers are banking on that time, maybe changing things. The James Jones and John Kuhn stuff is interesting. You know, it's one of two things. That's either like a sign that Aaron Rodgers is meticulously laying the foundation down for a return. You know, throw the Schefter stuff in there too. Whatever the hell happened there.
Right.
Something happened there. I mean, it's really, and that's a whole other conversation, but like all that stuff kind of happened at once. Like, is it him like, you know, gradually being warming up to the idea of being for the Packers in 2021, or is that more so a response to the backlash? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is somebody who cares deep what people think of him and the narrative around his name. And let's be real. I mean, it was bad. I mean, the backlash, you see it, Andy. I mean, these fans, I mean, it's the G on the helmet more than the name on the back. And I think like they're smart. These fans are smart. They know that Aaron Rodgers wants out. Brett Favre wanted back in. It's a huge difference. And yep. I think that they were like, looking at this, man, you got 3 years. It's your job. MVP. Team's great. What the hell? Maybe that backlash was so strong that it's okay. You know, James Jones, John Kuhn, Devontae Adams today, I think, when I Colin Cowherd.
Yep.
And just softened it a little bit, because there hasn't been the backlash doesn't seem nearly as bad right now as we tape this Monday night than it was even – what, Wednesday, Thursday last week?
No, last week, as I was going on a bunch of different radio shows because everyone wanted to talk Aaron Rodgers, it was crazy. It was the week after the draft, and I talked more about Jake Kumerow than I did any Packers draft pick last week. That's a true story. But as I was talking to everyone was surprised, you know, when they said, you know, the fans mostly seem on Aaron Rodgers' side. I said, it's mostly been split from my viewpoint. Like, there's definitely those that have been supporting Rodgers. There's definitely a bunch that were supporting the team. To me, it seemed a bit more split, and they were surprised by that. They thought most people would be supporting of Rodgers, as I talked to people on the national side of things. But as you pointed out, I do think, especially once Schefter talked, on the Dan, or was it Dan Patrick show, that seemed to flip things a little bit to say like, and we don't need to get into all of this, but like, it seemed to be more of like the media's at fault and big media, and like Rodgers still wants to be a Packer. And it was just like a totally different thing. And I think obviously there's things need to be compartmentalized there, right? Like the Rodgers Packer stuff is happening. He's not happy. We know that. And we know that mostly because Schefter broke that news, and that happened. Something else happened, and Schefter probably didn't use the right words the way that he could have or should have when he initially broke the news and kind of backtracked a little bit. There's something else there. Probably didn't handle it 1,000,000% the perfect way all the way around. And again, we don't have time to get into all of that. But the first fact that something was broken and wrong and that Rodgers wanted out at some point, whether that's still the case today, who knows? But that is true. And that was broken by Adam Schefter. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, we can go in 1,000,000 different directions there.
I mean, the ratings, they said, were going to be pretty bad for the draft too. I remember, maybe it was on PFT, there was a prediction that the ratings were going to be down. I don't know. Maybe you throw that in there, everybody's going to be tuning in, you know, yeah. With that timing. I mean, maybe there's something to that. But it is odd, and it's strange. And in terms of, you know, I think I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but like, I think he said like it wasn't an Aaron Rodgers source. I mean, he said, came out and said that, which, man, that blows my mind, because I have a really hard time believing that the Packers would just sabotage themselves. You know,
well, he said it wasn't an Aaron Rodgers source and that it wasn't a team source. So he said it wasn't from either side specifically. So that's where he kind of left. And then I think it got misconstrued, yeah. Because there's a part where he says, Dan, there was no source. And then Dan cuts him off and he's like, I know. And it looks like he's about to say there was no source on that day. And if you go back and watch it clearly, like, it looks like he's about to say there was no source directly on that day that called me and said something. And then that's where he said it was like an accumulation of information or whatever. But to me, all it meant was that he had an accumulation of sources over the course of months or weeks or whatever it was that helped him get to this point. It wasn't that he never had a source, but he did say this wasn't specifically a team source and it wasn't specifically an Aaron Rodgers source. So again, we're in no man's land.
He does a great job. You know, it's hard to sit here and, you know, analyze
right.
One of the goats, you know, I mean, Adam exactly. Schefter is Adam Schefter for a reason. So like you said, at the top, like number one, the substance of the reporting is 100% where everybody is right now.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's, yeah, people have been asking me to do a video on it. And it's like, listen, I can try my best to pretend to break down a prospect on film and things like that. It is very tough for me to break down the process of somebody like Adam Schefter and say what he knew, what he didn't do, or, you know, and, you know, is there the cynicism of, you know, were they just driving ratings on draft day? Like, I'm not a cynic in that regards, but whatever, who knows?
That's like a little bit,
a whole nother story. Well, let's wrap things up here with, I do want to go into, because this last article, you know, with, you know, let the Jordan era begin in Green Bay. There's a lot of great stuff that was said about Jordan Love in that article. What were some of your big takeaways of, you know, things that maybe people said that maybe led you to believe that this could be the guy, whether this year or down the road?
He's the real beautiful mystery here.
He is.
You know, because nobody really knows. I think, like, in terms of that rookie year in Green Bay, right? So he's on the scout team all year and he's pretending to be somebody else. And the coaches are constantly in his ear telling him things. And I feel like any reports or tweets or even thoughts, like even I had a player tell me, yeah, I'm about as ready to play quarterback as Jordan Love is. And then this player's like, well, you know, he wasn't even able to be himself all year. So that I think that's why Green Bay is here. They don't really know. It's not necessarily that Jordan Love was trashed as a rookie. It's just like, you didn't see any preseason. You didn't see anything in the regular season. You really didn't see much in practice because he's on the scout team. So, I mean, well, they don't know. We don't know. And that's kind of why I wanted to do a Jordan Love story. It's like, who does know? Well, he's with this private quarterback coach through Armed and Dangerous. His name's Steve Calhoun. He's worked with Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, a bunch of quarterbacks. And, I mean, I think it's really interesting, as we wrote, not to give too much away if people want to check it out, but, like, the Packers have been – Matt LaFleur, Lou Getsy, they're sending Steve Calhoun stuff every week to work on, you know, detail, fun plays, whatever, you know, what have you. Like, and they're working on it. They're throwing twice a week. They're breaking film down. Steve Calhoun has two different cameras set up right on the field, one in the front, one in the back, studying the iPad. I mean, they're trying to simulate the real thing as much as they can because he hasn't been in the real thing. And then other people who know him best, I mean, gosh, it's – his college wide receiver, COC Mariner. I mean, he's not shy and compared him to Patrick Mahomes with what he can do improvisationally and moving around. And I think that you come back to that type of comparison because Mark Ross put it really well, and he's worked in front offices for the last 20 years. He loved Jordan Love at NFL Network now. Loved him out of college, loved more than Herbert, than Tua. He just said, like, nothing was ever just set. Like, nothing was ever take the ball, take a drop back, have that one Mississippi, two Mississippi, guys wide open, throw it. Like, every single play was an odyssey in 2019 for this guy. And that means something. That's a great thing when you're trying to find an NFL quarterback because nothing's ever perfect in the pocket. So I think that there's a lot to love there. And he just has a incredibly strong arm. Like,
yeah,
you see it on the highlights, like, and his backup quarterback talking to him, Utah State, he's like, man, people don't understand. You see this up close. I mean, he can just be rolling either way, flip his hips around, fling it 40, 50, 60 yards. That means something. So they took him for a reason. He was drafted in the first round for a reason. Is he ready? Probably not. You know, he's really raw. But you're in it. So build an infrastructure that's best for him, I think. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think fawning over Aaron Rodgers, at least publicly, is going to do anything. I don't know what's going to change his mind at this point, but you just might have to start this a year earlier than you thought.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that being the case. Yeah, I went back and I watched a ton last year at this time, a ton of, like, pretty much all of his 2018 tape and then all of his 2019 tape. To me, Jordan Love's 2018 stuff is as good, if not better, than anything Pat Mahomes did in college. Like, it's legitimately that good. Now, his 2019 was a little bit more Deshaun Kizer type-esque. Like, it just wasn't as good. You saw the talent. You didn't see necessarily the production. A lot changed. The coaching staff and coordinators were different. The players around him were gone. He's going up against teams where literally the other 10 players matched up against, you know, the Alabama, I forget it was Alabama or which team he played. They played one high-end team.
LSU.
Thank you. You know, every single one of those 10 players were outmatched by the 10, you know, on the other side of the field, right? Like, just not great situations or scenarios. And then I was there obviously in training camp last year, and he comes in and, you know, for whoever, it's, you know, said, like, I'm ready as Jordan Love. Yeah. Like, there wasn't the distance between like Love and Tim Boyle was enough to be like, okay, there is a long ways to go here. Like Tim Boyle was clearly, and this is not me as a Tim Boyle stan. This is me legitimately just in, you know, there, like there was a huge difference between, you know, Tim Boyle and Jordan Love last year. But you go back to your point, no rookie mini camps, no OTAs, no preseason. And literally that those training camp practices we were at, that was his first time touching a football with these Packer teammates. And he's running number three behind Rodgers, behind Boyle. The amount of snaps he's getting is minimal. And then you go into season, that's a team that's fighting for a Super Bowl berth. Rodgers is going to get his whatever lion's share of snaps he needs or wants to get. Any leftovers are going to go to Tim Boyle in case something would happen, because he's the backup. And as you mentioned, Tim Boyle is going to get the scrap heap of scout team snaps that he can get whenever he can get them, not even running the Packers stuff. That if he's not ready, that should be no surprise to anyone. He's been given no chance to be ready at this point. So I think that's why it goes back to, you know, people saying like they thought that the Packers have this drop dead date of when they're going to move from Rodgers to Love. I don't think they would love to kept that option open if things went wrong with Rodgers or things went great with Love. I don't think they had any drop dead date of like, this is when we're making the transition, because there's no way even they could know what Jordan Love is at this point.
So true. And that's the value of OTAs, of minicamp, yep, to be in there and see what he can do with Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Amari Rodgers, all these guys, like get those reps and see how he commands the room, the huddle, picks up the offense. There's a value to those snaps now, and you can kind of wait to see this out a little bit. It's so important to remember too. I know it's different now with Twitter and we need like to know answers to everything in this moment right now, because it's so important. 2005, Bob McGinn has a story. I linked it in our Jordan Love story. Just to, I mean, it kind of gets lost, but like he was not good in training camp. I mean, Bob wrote how like Craig Knoll outperformed him, and it was only because Rodgers was the first round pick that he was the number two. And whenever you did see him in the preseason, or that, you know, I think he was in like a Ravens Monday night game at some point, it wasn't pretty. Like,
nope.
So it's going to take time, you know, they might go 5-11 this year with Jordan Love. Guess what? They went 6-10 with Aaron Rodgers in year one. And that was after he waited 3 years. So I don't know. Like, I think we tend to think it's going to be all scary on the other side. Like it's apocalyptic and oh my God, life post Rodgers is going to be terrible. But like, maybe not, right? Maybe not. Maybe Jordan Love's really, really good. And I think Brian Gutekunst deserves that benefit of the doubt.
For every Bulls past Jordan, there's a Packers post Favre. You know, sometimes these things can work out and sometimes they don't, sometimes they do, but only time is going to tell. My last question for you, when do you see the drop dead date being for Green Bay, where they're just, you know, they're obviously dug in now, don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. At what point, if they don't get anything back from Rodgers of saying like, this is potentially going to improve, at what point do they have to seriously consider, all right, it's time to trade? Cause to me, if you start going into training camp, like things get really ugly, really fast, where yeah, it just starts to poison your entire season, whether he comes back or not. Right. So like, to me, it's got to almost be before that point, because it's Rodgers. Maybe they're willing to wait it out even longer. But to me, time is a little bit on Aaron Rodgers' side in this, that I think the heat starts to turn up on Green Bay if Rodgers still continues to say, I'm out, I'm not going to be there.
I'm with you. I think that this is just, you know, gut feeling. I think it would be the start of training camp. I don't think can you imagine if it's still a thing? They want a training camp. I mean, the coverage of that, it's going to, you know, put OA to shame. It's going to be madness. So I think that you'd want to have it figured out by that. And really by day one of training camp as a team, we all, and I fell into this when I was on the beat too. Like you think there's all these training camp battles and like all of these roster spots up for grabs. Like usually most shit's already figured out. Like a lot of it, like you're just kind of like dotting the I's, crossing the T's. These coaches have a good sense for what they're going to do, what their team is going to look like, and what their realistic expectations are going to be. Boom, July 27th or whenever it starts. So if you're Green Bay, like I would want to know, like for the sake of the team, like let's think about this is bigger than Aaron Rodgers. There's a team to consider here.
Yep.
You better have it in place. You better have a vision and a message ready to go day one of training camp. So regardless of money and negotiations and, you know, whatever the listed demands is for Aaron Rodgers, like I think the Packers have an opportunity to be decisive and go on the offensive here instead of playing defense, trying to convince somebody to play when he's to play.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Ty, before we get you out of here, where can we find your work? Tell us about Go Long and how we can follow you on Twitter.
No doubt. No, thank you very much. And again, thanks to, I mean, all of the Packer fans. It's been phenomenal to just see a lot of familiar faces and interact with a lot of people from the Journal Sentinel days too. But if you go to golongtd.com, you can subscribe there. It's $7 a month, $70 a year. You know, a couple cups of coffee a month is my sales pitch, right? And, you know, get every article right to your email inbox. And you can sign up for the free list. There's like a separate free mailing list where I'll throw the occasional story there. But I'm going to be honest, a lot of this Packers stuff, man, we're making a premium for the subscribers. So I think it's worth getting in now because this story, it's not going away, and try to find different ways to cover it, you know, as much as I can. Also, these happy hours are a lot of fun. So that's just for subscribers every Friday night. I get a player from around the league on, former player, current player. We just all drink beer, hear old war stories, ask these guys whatever you want. It's a lot of fun. I'm trying to think. We've had Vince Williams, Andy Janovich, Allen Robinson, Ryan Leaf, Doug Whaley, the Bills GM, came on, a bunch of draft prospects. So, yeah, I think it's a good time. It would be great just to meet people, too, on there.
Yeah, guys, you don't sign up for the free version. Sign up for the paid version. It's more than worth it, especially with the stuff that Ty's been doing with the Packers. Even if you're not a Packer fan and for some reason you're listening to a 365-day-a-year Packer podcast, sign up anyway. There's a ton of other stuff out there that you will certainly enjoy. You can follow, again, Ty on Twitter, at Ty Dunn. That's T-Y-D-U-N-N-E on Twitter. You can follow me at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. I will be right back here tomorrow on the video version. If you have not subscribed, please make sure to do that as well. If you're listening on the audio version, we'll be right back here tomorrow as well, because we do this 365 days a year also. Make sure to like and subscribe. Make sure to give those 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate it. That's going to do it for Ty Dunn. I'm Andy Herman. Thank you for listening. And as always, go Pack, go.